Good morning. How are you today? Today is Thursday, September the 1st. Here we go, September babies. Our birthdays are coming up, and guess what? Mine is Saturday, September 3rd. Yay! Happy birthday, Yay. Linda. This is my last day being on the air live, so you can give me your happy birthdays, those of you who are on WGH Talk today. Okay, now, not only that, 243 days have passed this year. Can you believe that? Wow. I can't. Whoa. It's like time has really sped up fast. So there only remains 122 days. Still a lot of time to do a lot of things that you have planned to do, but couldn't find time to do. So we just thank God for time. And you know, I was thinking about time, and it made me think about David, who says in Psalms 90:12, teach us, God, how to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Because sometimes, you know, we try to live life so fast and we live it foolishly. But let us count our days. We are not here to live forever, that we can apply our heart to gain wisdom, God's wisdom of how to have a long, happy, and healthy life. Okay? I think that is a word for today, and I have some more words for today. But welcome to WGH Talk. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of my program is called A Voice of the People. Also, we stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device, iPhones, cell phones, laptops, computers, Chromebooks, whatever gadget you may have in your possession, where you have apps and have the opportunity or technology to download apps. Again, the name of this app is called TuneIn. Once you download it, please search WWGH. Or if you would like to call in right now during our live broadcast, if you have any questions, please call 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments during this live broadcast, please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, and that is starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, here in Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. And if any of you want to know where Marion, Ohio is, we are 50 miles north of Columbus, Ohio, our capital. So that's where we are located. Also, Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, location 582 Lee Street in Marion, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-382-8552. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, which is free produce. That will take place this Saturday, because they have it every third Saturday of every month. Okay? And that will take place September 21st. It begins at 12 noon to 2 p.m. If you know of anyone who has need of free produce, please take note of this announcement and share it. Thank you. Also, Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner Cheryl Lee, location LaRue, Ohio, phone 740-262-0939. And those of you who faithfully support A Voice of a People, thank you for your support, your ongoing support. And if this is your first time listening or watching our live broadcast here on Facebook Live, I hope it will not be your last. Okay? I also like to start my show off with a thought for today. And this thought is titled, React Positively. thought for today. React positively. Our first reaction to a difficult situation is often negative. There is a tendency to be carried away in a storm of negative thoughts. Such thoughts of no use can lead us further from the solution. Thinking one positive thought every day helps me to maintain stability. Constant practice will help me remain stable even in the most difficult circumstances. And stability means that you have a firmness in your stance. You're not easily moved or angered or, you know, acting out of character. So it has a way of creating security for you and balance in your life. And to have sanity and not be insane, right? And have a peace of mind. So I think that is a great positive thought to leave with you today. Okay. Now, I do have to get in some announcements, and I'm sorry I kind of got ahead of myself. But we want to give our condolences to the families of the victims, Jameer Douglas, who was shot down a couple Saturdays ago, and Marquise Adams. He has been what they call at large. He's still at large, and they still consider him armed and dangerous. Now, Marquise is 18 years old. Jameer is 17 years old. And they will be laying Jameer to rest. And I think that takes place tomorrow at Pastor Jackie Peterson's church, which I gave you the address, 582 Lee Street, who was a student of Harding High School. Marquise, he just graduated this year in May. So let us, you know, reach out to those families in love and in support. And don't forget to give your condolences or leave your condolences for Jameer Douglas family. Okay? All right now. Thank you once again for, like I said, tuning in to A Voice of a People. My guest today is Jeff Porter. He is an author of a book called Expressions of the Last Days. Now, Jeff is like a right-hand man here for me, and I thank God for him. At any moment's notice, and he's able, he can be here to share with you parts of his life, and just so happy to have him. So at this time, I turn my attention to Jeff Porter.
Hello.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Morning. I'm just wonderful. My voice is still a little messed up, but hopefully they can hear me okay.
Oh, yeah. Quite well. We can hear you quite well. So what you been doing since I saw you last?
Oh, just the usual stuff, you know. Driving around, getting groceries, and just living.
Well, yeah, that's a part of it.
Yeah, you know, it is.
Like the thought I found today when I was talking about how many days are left in a year and how many days have gone past, and that scripture just went across my mind. Lord, teach us to number our days, you know, that we may turn our heart to gain wisdom, the
yes.
wisdom of God, you know, because we're not here to live forever on this earth. This
no.
is not our permanent home, right?
We're here for a short time.
Short time.
Fortunately or unfortunately.
And no matter how long we live, it's still short.
It is compared to eternity.
Yes.
So I was talking about being in the wilderness.
Yes, you were.
Last time, and you wanted to talk about that some more.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, not everybody's required to go through the...
Yeah.
Not everyone is required to go through the wilderness.
True.
But those of us who do have to go through it, it can be very disturbing, very difficult.
Right.
A lot of times Satan will take advantage of the situation, make you feel like nothing's ever going to happen. God has called you to a higher calling, and yet, what's happening? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing's happening. That's the worst part of it, you know.
And then you kind of wonder, did I really hear God?
Yeah, after a while, you start wondering that, you know. For a long time, he encouraged me, you know. If I started doubting too much, he would encourage me that, yes, you still have that calling. Then he kind of backs off from that. I think he wants you to just believe it.
Yes, absolutely.
You know. But the hard part about it is you don't know when he's going to call you out or how.
True. True.
And you say to yourself, when he calls me out, what does that look like? You know.
Yes, yes.
Is he going to have me on different radio stations? Is he going to cause my book to become a bestseller? What's he going to do?
Right.
You know, but still you're speculating because he's not going to tell you. That's because he wants to be able to do what he wants to do. You know, so you can't argue with him.
Well, people do. I mean, yes. And, you know, you can talk to him. You can ask him.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Who hasn't? I've asked him every question imaginable about this. And he answers one or two questions. But God is not obligated to answer us. You know, he doesn't have to give us any kind of an explanation as to why you're there, what's going to happen in the future, and all that stuff. There's not necessarily going to be an answer. He doesn't answer very many why questions.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's true. True. Well, not immediately. I've learned from my experience with the Lord. He does answer, but sometimes it's not immediately, you know.
Well, you can't answer. Sometimes you can't handle the answer.
True. It's not time for it.
No.
Yes, that's true. So true.
I remember we have a loved one die on us, something like that. Then later on, he may explain something about that, you know, but a lot of times you never get what you're going to get your answer in eternity.
Yes, well.
Because this answer might shake up your faith.
Of course.
That wouldn't be good.
No. But your first point was believe.
Yeah.
You know, what do we have about God? What do we know about God? God speaks. He has a voice.
He does.
He has a voice, you know, and like you said, he gives us...
We really don't know that much about him, though.
No.
For the most part, God is a mystery.
Yes.
Well, like your calling, you know, whatever it is that he's called you to, and you know that he's going to take you there someday, it probably got some mystery to it. You know.
Yeah, the wilderness journey.
Yeah. Well, when he pulls you out of the wilderness, you know, there's mysterious feelings about it, you know.
Yeah.
You don't know everything there is to know about it.
No. Like he told Abraham, leave your kindred and go to another land. Abraham had no idea where he was going.
What is he doing with me?
Right.
Well, these decisions that you make while you're in the wilderness that might change everything. For instance, if you give up, you probably won't be doing what he called you to do because you're on a certain path and Satan will come along and say, well, you're not going to be provided for in this journey. You're just going to starve, you know.
Like going through the desert, right?
Yeah.
Hot.
Yeah.
No
and
water.
Dry and yeah. No water and no food. But that's not true. God does provide.
Yes, he does.
I found that out. So I was immediately in the wilderness. I had somehow ended up on the streets, living on the streets. And I found out that God can make streams in a desert. You know, I didn't die out there, so he must have fed me. You know. Mike and I'd be like hanging out at the PTL club, and we'd be starving, and then all of a sudden somebody would stop I remember a guy stopped in his car bringing us out two bags of groceries. Just gave it to us.
See?
Yeah, you'd be sitting there in church and somebody would just hand you some money. You know, so.
And that's a word for somebody today. God can provide.
Yes, he does provide.
Jehovah Jireh, our provider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a word for somebody today who may be in or on a wilderness journey right now. It could be listening to this program like right now or watching it on Facebook like right now. They could be destitute and at the end of their road, they may think, you know, because they can't find answers themselves. Why am I in the wilderness? Why is it dry here? Why do I feel like I have no hope? And what do you say?
Well, you, first of all, God not only provides food and money and stuff like that, he also provides encouragement. And it's like, you know, if you get sick and end up in the hospital, more than likely he's going to talk to you in there. Say, well, you're in the hospital because I needed to talk to you without distractions.
Right.
You know, or your friend was in this car accident because you were depending on him too much. I want you to see what it's like depending on just me. You know.
Right.
All of that kind of stuff. So it's the times when I start feeling really, really hopeless that God comes in and encourages me and shows me something, you know. You can make a decision to leave the wilderness yourself.
How and, do you do that?
Well, for instance, for me, for instance, I'm retired and I'm on low income, but I could go out there and get me a job, you know, and provide for myself. See, but that's not what he wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
He wants me to depend on him with my low income and continue on. So I learned to depend on him. So when the bad times get here, really bad times, tribulation, that's another reason why we're in the wilderness these days, is because he's preparing you for the tribulation. And you'd be a lot tougher than you were, and molding you. For instance, I told you I used to have a really terrible temper.
Mm-hmm.
And I no longer have that bad temper because God has changed me. So he wants to do that with you, but it's not an easy path. It's not, you know, being in the wilderness and learning what God wants you to learn is not a walk in the park. It's very difficult at times. It's difficult most of the time. So those are some reasons why you end up in the wilderness. I tell you, I've had my anger and my temper tested more times than I could admit, you know, more times than I could count, seems like. I go here and somebody's angry, go there and somebody's angry, and you know that God wants you to learn to keep your mouth shut and not jump down their throat.
True.
And I have before. I've flunked the test before. You know, just press the reset button, send you back through the same test again.
Because you failed it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This says an epic journey. Epic means big, large, you know, huge in definition and experience. Okay, it's through a trackless wilderness to a promised land, generally involving an exodus from oppression and wickedness to a destination of promised blessings and rest. But it's just getting there, right? It's just having the strength to go through this wilderness journey.
He doesn't take you immediately to the land of promise.
Right, because you can't see where you're going, right?
No, you can't see the land of promise from where you're at, no. That gets to be my problem. Wake up in the morning and go, what is this? I mean, I should have been here by now. You know, after all these years of being in the wilderness, you know. But the longer you wait... And it's the same thing. He said he was going to bring the right woman into my life, you know. No sign of it whatsoever. I said, I must have been imagining things. Now, I know the way it happened, it wasn't no imagination thing. It's going to happen. But sometimes I wake up in the morning and go, right, it's going to happen. and I'm a fire hydrant. Because the reason I'm so skeptical is because it takes a long time, but you know, something will pop up and it will say, just because it's taking God a long time to do something in your life, doesn't mean that it's not going to happen.
Well, maybe it's taken God a long time to prepare you for what he has.
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you know, I think he's ready whenever we get ready, but
yeah,
sometimes we're just not there yet. So
no, he knows when you're. He wouldn't have spoken that to you if he wasn't going to do it.
Right.
So, you know, it's just like I tell people, God has written in his word the book of Revelation.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to, because it's in his word. You better believe if it's written in the Bible, it's going to happen.
Right, right.
You know, and we've got to be prepared. And that's one of the biggest reasons why we go through the wilderness, is because apparently the person that's wondering what's happening here is called to do something before or during the tribulation.
So what has been the hardest part about your wilderness journey?
How? It's just how long it's taking. You know, it's like, give me a break. I mean, you know, after it's been a long time since he spoke to you, it's like, well, just forget it. You know, if you're going to take this long.
You don't want it now?
I've felt that way before.
Yeah, I've been there. I understand where you're coming from. I do.
I'd rather just live an ordinary life, please. You know, but when I think about it, I don't want to. I want the extraordinary life God has for me in the future, you know. This radio program has been an indicator that he'll be using me in the future. You know.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's been a blessing. It has been
for
me.
It has been for me.
Yes.
Yes.
It gives you hope, help you hold on.
Yeah.
A little bit more strength and a little bit more encouragement, and it strengthens your belief that God is still on the throne and he's still working things out in your
yes.
favor. You know, even that wilderness journey that you were on, or any of us have been on and maybe on right now or in
yeah.
right now, you know, there's still, God is still on the throne.
There's still a stream in this desert.
Yes, yes. I have a book that's called Streams in the Desert. And I read
I've seen that.
That. Yeah, and I do devotions out of that.
That's
it's
a good
devotional.
One.
It is. It's extraordinary. It really is.
Yes. I think wilderness is probably going to be, when you get done with your journey, you'll remember the wilderness as being probably the most difficult part. Because when I get to the point where I'm supposed to fight against some opposition, I think this is worse. It's nothing happening.
But do you think that this is also a type of spiritual warfare?
Yeah.
In the wilderness?
You know, sometimes when I'm you call the night before and say, I need you to fill in for somebody. The next day I'll be getting up and going. And just Satan just fighting me all the way. You know, I try to. Matter of fact, I stopped at Duke Station today to get some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize when I got outside how hot that coffee was. I just barely dripped some on my finger. I was like, whoa, lava! You know? And I set it on top of the car so I could free my hand. And I don't know what happened. Some wind blew or something and tipped that coffee over. It just barely missed me. It did miss me.
Well, praise God
for that.
It just
spilled all of my coffee all
right.
over. I thought, man, I'm so glad that didn't land on me. Ooh, that would have been really bad.
Well, you might have been blistered really bad,
yeah.
too. And maybe that was the reason the wind knocked it over. Never know.
I don't know, but you know, sometimes when I'm on my way here, I don't know if you get this, I'll get traffic harassment.
Mm-hmm.
Trucks pull out in front of me, people get in front of you, then they slow down. You know, they weave in and out of traffic in front of you, won't let you go. You know, that kind of stuff is Satan.
Well, that's just a way of life.
Satan does that.
When you get on the road, you're not the only one on the road. And
yeah.
people have their own destination and their own desired time to get there. Or, you know, some people just in a hurry all the time.
Yeah.
They're just in a hurry.
They do everything at breakneck speed.
Right, right.
I have a friend that he said he was on his way to an appointment and all that kind of stuff was happening. And he has been doing everything at breakneck speed. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, slow down. Mm. Let me help you.
Yes. Wow, that's powerful right there, Jeff.
Yeah.
Should we slow down and let God help us?
Yes.
Those of us who think we already know the way, and we know, like I did a sermon some years ago, do you know the way to San Jose? Mm-hmm. Well, San Jose is, I don't know if it's in Mexico, but you know, Dionne Warwick made that song, right? She sang that song years ago. How do I get there? Do I know the way there? But God is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. So, and people, we're like, we're trying to go so fast, and you, like you say, weave in and out of traffic.
That's the American way, isn't it?
Yes, 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 yes. Because we have our own map, our own atlas, you know, but we're not getting to the desired place God wants us to be at.
Well, did you ever do that? You get into this thing where you're trying to weave in and out of traffic, you're trying to hurry up, you're getting on people's bumpers and stuff, and you still can't make any headway. As when you get to the red light, the guys, all the people you went around, there they are right beside you.
Yes, so many times, yes.
And you go, how did they do that?
Yes.
Probably because of the timing of the lights. Stuff, they won't let you speed.
And you, like you said, you think you're getting somewhere and you're going ahead of these people. And
yeah.
When you get there, there they
are. There they are. And they were just driving normal. So I don't usually do that anymore. I don't usually speed and hurry up and weave in and out and all
that. I try not to highway drive anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't you hate it?
Yes. Anymore. You know, when I was younger, I used to do that, weaving in
no
and out.
No problem.
And, you know, 75, 90 miles an hour, you know. And come on now. Let's get to where I'm going. Let's go. Let's roll.
Yeah.
I had a car following my family, my mom and dad and my siblings, to Washington, Georgia one year. And I had bought me a convertible, Ford Galaxy, canary yellow with a white rag top. You couldn't tell me nothing. I thought I was the stuff, you hear me?
Yeah.
In that car, and I had my cousin with me and my children and her children. They had already left us about an hour or so, right? 45 minutes at least. And I'm barreling down that highway trying to catch up with them, right?
Whoa.
And I'm, you know, I'm flying, right? The car starts smoking and everything. I am not lying. Up under the hood and all that, you know, we could smell it, you know. But I told that car, you going to take me to Washington, Georgia, and you're going to bring me back home. And you know that car stopped smoking and took me all the way and all the way back. I talked to that car.
That's pretty amazing.
Yes. But, you know, like, it was just, and I passed them. They had went to the rest area to wait on me to catch up, and they saw me flying.
Sounds like that's what you needed to do.
My sister said, there goes Linda
right
there.
Was that car brand new?
No, it wasn't brand new. I think it was a 1970. I think I got that car in, when was that? 76. I bought it in 76, 77.
Yeah. So,
but it was sharp. It was sharp. Couldn't tell me nothing about that car here. I thought I was something. And not only that, in the wintertime, it would snow in the car.
Yeah.
No heat. Oh. I had to get rid of it, though, because I wish I had saved it.
It was inspiring you to drive fast.
No, being left was inspiring me to drive fast to catch up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They left, like, maybe half an hour, 45 minutes before me, you know. So I was trying to catch up.
And you did.
I did.
Where were you going?
Washington, Georgia.
For what reason?
Vacation.
Just vacation?
Yeah, vacation.
Wow, what a vacation.
It was a very nice vacation. We had a ball, you know.
Did you really?
Yeah, but that also goes with wilderness journey, like trying to get a decent car. You ever had the misfortune of getting a car and it lasts for a couple months, then you start putting money in it.
Yeah.
All the time. Money.
Yeah.
You can't get ahead because of trying to fix this car, this used car, you know. Then you go get another used car. There you go. It'll last for so long, then it starts taking your money. There's no money. Let me fix this. It seemed like every car I would get, I either had to put tires on it when I got it, or alternator when I got it.
Yeah.
You know, it'd run for a new battery. It's like a whole new overhaul.
Yeah.
So, and that's how, you know, a wilderness journey can be also.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
In your life. It's like things just don't work out for you.
And you just, after a while, it's like, oh my gosh, how long is this going to go on? I reach for something in the store shelf, and the whole shelf comes piling down, you know. And you're wondering, how long is this going to go on, you know? Nothing wants to go right, you know. But God, unfortunately, you may say to yourself, I don't want to hear this, but God is teaching you patience. And it's a hard lesson, you know. And I say, I don't know why, but God doesn't just open up your head or open up your heart and just pour patience in there. You know, some kind of liquid that's patience.
But it is a journey that gives you patience, just like
yes.
you said. If you wasn't on a journey, you wouldn't have any patience.
No. And most of the world's not willing to take that journey. So be glad that you've been willing and that God has been taking you on it. You know. That happens to me almost every day. Something stupid like that happens to me. You know. The very thing that you were, machine that you were going to try to use to fix something, breaks down. You know, and it just goes on and on from there. Cars especially. Oh. Endless problems, you know.
Oh, my kitchen is falling apart. Cabinet by cabinet.
Yeah. Well, I've kept my, you know, you usually, when you're in the wilderness, you can't really have
funny,
a hobby.
It is.
But I've kept my motorcycle hobby in spite of all the problems. How I wish I could afford a brand new motorcycle. But I have a 2001 Suzuki Savage 650.
Okay.
And I rode it one summer. Man, I rode, that poor thing. I rode it to death. And at the end of that summer, it had a couple of problems. So I took it into the place that I bought it from and pointed out the stuff that needed to be fixed, you know. I figured I'd fix it with my income tax return thing. And they kept it and they kept it and they kept it and didn't work on it. And I called and called and called. So finally I really got mad and I went in and I said, if you don't have this motorcycle out the door by Friday, I'm going to call the police and charge you with theft because you've had it for a year. You know, they should have had it done long before that. So we haggled about it, and I said, okay, fine, then just put it on a trailer and bring it back to my house.
Right.
Save me money anyways. He said, no, I'll have it done. So I went in, and he did. He had it done, but it took threatening him to do it. You know. And I believe, you know, that could happen in just ordinary life, but I think it was mostly the wilderness that caused that, you know. Just another thing to harass you, you know. But it runs good now.
Good. So are you ready to get back on your motorcycle yet, or you think you're strong enough?
I think I'll wait till next summer.
Okay.
Because, it's a pretty good-sized motorcycle, and it's heavy, so I've got to make
right.
sure that I'm strong enough to keep it going, you know.
That's true. To keep it, yeah, to hold it up and while you're riding it and things like
yeah.
that, yeah. So you're going to have to do some strengthening exercises to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I can say this. After all that you have been through, you're still here.
Yeah.
In the land of the living, you're still able to come and share with the people about your life's journey and share with them about your book, Expressions of the Last Days. Mm-hmm. Jeff is the author of that. How God has promised you, even through your writing of your book, that He was going to use you. And
yeah.
Like you said, you didn't think that it would be like on the radio, but look, 7 years you've been on the radio.
I thought this radio thing was... I thought this radio thing was just going to be a one-time thing, like when Scott, I went in the first time, Scott Spears was interviewing me, and he said, well, I'm going to have you back sometime. So, okay. But I don't know, I was going down the hallway, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, go get one of your books and show it to Linda. So I went and got it, showed it to you, and you said, well, I'm going to have you on. And I've been on the radio ever since.
Yes. Yes, you have been.
I'll say one thing about it. You know, if God decides to use me on TV or in other radio stations, I don't feel nervous anymore. So that did get me used to it, you know.
Right.
So I don't, you know, just run out or something or sit there and freeze.
And freeze like and I did yesterday, right?
Did you?
Yes, I did. It just shows that I'm not perfect.
Oh, no, Linda, yeah. I thought.
Oh, no. By no means, okay, by no means. I'm like, wow. I couldn't think of a word. I couldn't think of anything to say when I got on yesterday, and I'm thinking, where's all that at, you know?
I get these blanks right now.
That's what I had, yes.
They say it's because of a senior moment.
That's what I had yesterday, a senior moment, okay.
But
all right.
I had a day where I wanted to go to Cracker Barrel, and I couldn't remember the name of Cracker Barrel. It just flew from me. About mid-afternoon, it came to me. So whatever it is I'm trying to remember, eventually it gets there.
Yes, yes, yes.
But everybody has a little bit of that. What's
yes.
A street name that you absolutely should know, you know, and it's gone. I hate that.
Well, I guess we can start getting used to it, right?
Yeah.
Say, Lord, touch my mind. Bring things back to my remembrance, Lord, like your word has said. You
yeah.
know, I'm out here struggling. Give me the tongue of the learned, you know.
Yes.
Open up my understanding. So, you know, and that's also a dependence on God.
Yeah, that's true.
Help me, you know. And, you know, people like, do you talk to God like that? Yes, I have to. And I thought yesterday, well, because I didn't do that before I got on the show yesterday, I was a complete blank.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't have time to say, well, Lord, I need you to be with me on this show to help me, you know, go through.
Some of our best shows, I say, Lord, what do you want me to talk about?
Yes.
And I get nothing. I come in here. After we start talking, the Holy Spirit comes in and starts inspiring subjects, you know,
yeah.
certain subjects. And it's because, I think, because people are listening that need to hear that particular subject, you know.
Right. Right, especially their wilderness journey.
Yes, I was just going to say that. I was yep. just going to say that, you know. The wilderness journey is very important. It's also very, very difficult.
Yes, know? Yes it is. Yes it is.
So I thought, you know, because I read about this lady that was, she was in watching the Boston Marathon when those people set off those bombs.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was so awful, wasn't it?
Uh-huh, she lost a leg over
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a lot of people lost their limbs.
And she told her story in there. She said, you know, she was talking about the hospital experience. She said she was talking about their painful procedures. I said, man, I can relate to that. You know, getting stuck with needles and getting stretched and, you know...
Yeah.
Stabbed in the fingers because of diabetes. I said, there was a week there, so I would not let them stab me in the fingers anymore because I couldn't. I couldn't stand the pain anymore. So they were really mad about that, too. said, you got to let us get your blood. I said, no, you don't have to have it. I'm still alive.
You're like, leave me alone. I've had enough, right?
Yeah, it's time to go home. The hospital is no place to try to sleep.
No, it's not.
They come in and wake you up out of a deep, heartfelt sleep. And I said, you woke me up. I was having a deep, peaceful sleep. She goes, that's what we do. I said, oh, I feel to see the humor in this.
When you start feeling like that, you were getting closer and closer to your journey home from the hospital, right? Because that meant that you were feeling better. And, you know, like you said, I couldn't give him any more blood. Please don't stick me one more time because I just can't stand the pain. And you were in the hospital close to a month.
Well, when she came back in and she said they were going to put me in a rest home for temporarily till I got really well. And they couldn't find any agencies that were willing to fund it. And it just went on and on. So finally, this was a good social worker, too. She knows her stuff. She came in and she said, I'm sorry, but I just can't find any agencies. And we haven't been able to get you on Medicare yet. Because my company that I worked for didn't pay into it. And I said, it was like Wednesday. I said, Friday, I'm going home. So finally, they called me a cab and everything. They said, are you sure you can make it home okay and make it, you know, be able to support yourself when you get home and all that? I said, yeah, I think so. But in my mind, I was like, oh, my gosh. So when the taxi got there, when I went in the door, I almost tripped on something. I almost fell flat on my face. And I was just barely walking. I finally made it in the door. Oh, gosh. I guess I'm going to have to volunteer for a rest home. I thought, no, I don't want to do that. And I knew God wasn't going to allow that. So I sat down on the couch. About a week later, I was walking much better and much better. As the days went by, now I'm almost normal. You see me walking.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, when this thing first started, I couldn't walk at all.
I remember. And coming.
The nurse.
And you crawling up the steps. I remember. And I thought, my, are you okay?
Yeah, no,
I
wasn't.
You were still trying to make it, you know, but bless the Lord, you know. He knew.
I was able to get enough strength up to be. Let's see, the more you walk, the more exercise you get, the better you do.
Oh, yeah, the better you feel. It opens up your lungs, and you get more oxygen to different parts of your body that you need, you know.
Yes.
And it strengthens your legs and your upper torso. Walking is good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you walk from your house to that church on
right
a couple steps away from you. Two or three times a day. That's a good little walk. But, Jeff, we are out of time for the first hour.
Okay.
Now, Jeff will be back with us again at 11:15 until 12 noon. This is the end of our first hour. Thank you once again for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WGH Talk. All right. So, don't leave. We'll be back next hour. Thank you for listening. If you can't make it back, thank you for your attention the first hour. Till next time, God bless.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.